All right, today I'm talking with Marcus Tetmar from MJTNet. How are you today, Marcus?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Doing well. So why don't you give our listeners a little brief introduction to your company and its products?
Okay. Yeah, our main product range is called Macro Scheduler, which is an automation tool which automates Windows applications and other software processes. It incorporates a macro recorder and a scripting language. So it's commonly used for automating other software processes and applications and also for software testing. The scripting language was specifically designed to automate by simulating user activity, but also incorporates VBScript for things like automating ActiveX interfaces like Microsoft Word, Microsoft Office applications, and Internet Explorer.
Well, that sounds very interesting. So it's the kind of things that people could use to run a regular process that they do every week sort of thing?
Exactly, yeah. Perhaps the most common use is for automating something that is quite repetitive and mundane, so that they would then set that up to do it for them and have it run on a scheduled basis, so perhaps it happens overnight so that they haven't got to do it. For example, we have a bank here in the UK that was spending, a member of staff was spending 2 hours every morning running through an Excel interface to a sort of mainframe database to create financial reports, and this was taking something like 2 to 3 hours every day, and they decided they needed to automate this, so they now use Macro Scheduler, which runs at something like 2 o'clock in the morning, and the report is on the printer when they come in the morning, so it's saving companies lots of time for doing that sort of thing. But equally, it could be used for some sort of one-off processes, perhaps data migration, for example. You may have two disparate systems that aren't compatible. Perhaps it's going to cost, you know, $100,000 or 6 months to get people to actually develop add-ons or get it into the database level, or perhaps the warranty doesn't allow it. So, you know, they can use our software for working at a higher level to actually drive the two applications and pull data from one and poke it into the other.
That sounds really awesome. Is it the kind of thing that you can teach, for example? I mean, does it sort of have a macro recorder sort of feel to it as well?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it does have a macro recorder, which is obviously a basic way of getting started, and that's ideal for basic automation scenarios, maybe just small tasks that you're going to run on your computer. Clearly, as you have more complicated requirements, you need to get into the code. But the macro recorder is a good way of seeing how the code is constructed. And the language is really designed for the less technical. Although it's a technical product, it isn't the language isn't as technical as most programming languages. And we have a lot of users that have never done any programming before and have got some real mileage from the software and sort of managed to get into it and build some really quite complicated things. So it appeals, although it's a technical product in a sense, it does appeal to the less technical in terms of the scripting language.
It sounds very interesting. In fact, I'm going to have to take a look at it regarding some of the podcasting post-production work that I do.
Yeah, right.
There's some repetitive stuff there that drives me crazy. So,
right. Well, we have Sirius Radio, for example, used the tool for automating parts of their program production and basically applying those the downloadable audio files to their website, for example.
Very interesting. So, how many people are MJTNet?
Two full time, and over the years there's been various people come and go, but it's basically two full time members and a kind of a, I suppose you'd call it sort of a virtual a conglomeration of other people, you know, sort of with things being outsourced, for example, the PR to Dave Collins, Shareware Promotions, and with those I kind of regard having him and his people are essentially almost members of staff in that I speak to them on a daily basis. So I think I'm sure many other people listening to this who are running small companies work in a very similar way these days, with a much more sort of virtual remote approach to providing resource.
Sounds good. What kind of technology and tools do you use to develop your software?
Well, I have to admit that the tools actually developed in Delphi. originally, so not a Microsoft product, although we're looking very seriously at changing that to Visual C++, primarily really because we want to look at developing for Win64, and really at the moment the only viable way to go is going to be towards the Microsoft toolset. Doesn't look like at the moment Borland aren't making any commitment as to whether they'll provide a 64-bit compiler. So, and I think as things are going, I don't know if it's really why we chose Delphi in the first place over Microsoft tools. Perhaps it was more accessible. I don't know, but I do feel that the Microsoft tools are much more accessible now, and I think it's likely that we'll change over to that in the future.
Sounds good. So, one of the questions that I ask everyone that I interview for the show is, why did you decide to go into software development for yourself?
Well, I guess I was I graduated with a computer science degree in 2004 and did the usual kind of, you know, programming jobs. I think I did two or three jobs, and I was never anywhere longer than a year. I guess I always had an independent streak. And I guess I outgrew the places I was in, and so it sort of just happened. It evolved naturally. The software macro scheduler was written as a personal project between jobs it was inspired by having to do some automation tasks in a previous job where I was in an IT department, and not really having at the time the right tools to do it. And having to sort of reinvent the wheel every time, it occurred to me that we needed something a bit more generic. And as all these things happen, I guess it started as a part-time thing. And the beta version on the web, and very quickly had a large number of people using it, saying great things about it. And then I guess the rest is history, as they say. And it wasn't long before I left the day job.
Well, that's really tremendous. So, what do you like most about developing software for Windows and for the Microsoft platform?
I think that it's an incredibly rich platform. I'm always amazed at what you can do with the API in Windows. It's so powerful. And I mean, one thing, for example, is we've recently created a product called Web Recorder, an add-on called Web Recorder, which allows you to automate Internet Explorer activity. And that's really been made so much more achievable because of the Internet Explorer ActiveX interface and the document object model. And I mean, it's just so powerful. The more you delve into it, the more you realize what you can do. So I'd say that's what's so impressive with the Windows platform.
All right, which then leads to the next question. What do you like least about it, or what do you wish Microsoft would do to make things easier regarding developing software for Windows?
I think there's nothing really general, I could say, but I think if I had to pick something, it would be in the area of communication. I think sometimes small developers like ourselves feel a little bit left out, and one of the difficult things is whenever there's a new operating system coming out, i.e. in this case Vista, is obviously a certain amount of paranoia setting in, as you want to make sure that the software is going to run with it correctly, ready for its launch. And obviously we've got the beta programs for Vista at the moment, and specifically we've had one or two things that haven't quite worked with Vista, and it's very difficult to know sometimes whether that's just because it's a beta, and it could just be one of those things they haven't, the development team haven't got around to putting that feature in, or whether it's something that we've done wrong, or if it's a change to the SDK. And I've found that it's difficult to know who to talk to, for example. And although there's a forum on an MSDN forum for Vista, sometimes the answers don't come forth particularly quickly, so you kind of feel a little bit left in the dark. I think that's my only criticism.
All right, I understand. Well, we are working on some other evangelism programs to try to help you out in that direction, you and your fellow micro ISV developers. And,
yeah.
And one of the things that we already do have in place, I don't know whether you're familiar with, is the ISV Buddy program.
Right, yeah, I'm vaguely aware of it, but I haven't looked into it in much detail.
Well, I'd recommend it, because you put your profile in, and you end up getting buddied up with somebody who is a developer, in a someone with something you're related to. So if what you're looking for is Vista development, you could get right. paired up with the developer and have someone knowledgeable to be able to ask those questions of.
Right, that's a really neat idea. Definitely look at that.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the process of developing your application, what's been the most difficult challenge engineering-wise?
That's a difficult one. I think it's hard to think of anything technical, really, that's been a real challenge in terms of developing the product. I think it's more a case of getting motivated to get into the development cycle. Once you're in, you tend to be, you know, you get immersed in it. But sometimes when you've got a new feature, specifically if it's quite a large feature that needs to be added, it's sometimes hard to get into that process. I don't think there's really been any real stumbling block in terms of the technology. Not that I can think of at the top of my head now. I'm sure there have been something that we've struggled over, but we finally found a solution for. But I'd say that, as I said before, the Windows platform is so rich that there's so much you can do with it. And these days, with obviously you know Google Groups and various Usenet resources and so on, it is quite easy to find people that have done similar things. You know, I don't think we've had the real stumbling block yet. But I'll let you know when we do.
All right. Oh, that's good news. One of the things that most small ISVs run into is that the technology tends to be the easy part, and the business side tends to be the part with which they're least familiar. So, what's been your most difficult business challenge in getting MJTNet up and running and getting it to the point where it's self-sustaining?
I think resources, really, time. I know that, for instance, we used to do all the kind of updating all the software download sites and that kind of PR thing myself, and eventually it just becomes a full-time task. You know, if you're going to keep the publicity up, it's just something that you have to keep doing. And obviously, you've got to do other things as well, like support and development. So I suppose that's a big challenge for some people is to take the leap into actually doing some sort of planning towards actually doing some PR. I mean, in our case, it was going with, as I said, you know, sort of shareware promotions, and basically getting someone else to do it. Sometimes you have to realise that you can't do everything, and you need other resources, whether that be someone, a new member of staff or outsourcing it to someone else. Those sort of decisions are difficult to make sometimes. Also, you know, whether you should advertise on certain sites. Advertising, perhaps in the early days, was quite expensive with banner ads and so on, and also produced pretty poor results. So it makes you very sort of twice shy about spending ad dollars on sites now. So things like that, I think, for a lot of people are difficult decisions to make.
That's true. So. You sell your software as shareware?
Yeah, mostly. I'm not utterly convinced about the term shareware. I have to admit, I think things have moved on a bit in the way that that's used. But basically, in the sense that we provide a demo version, an evaluation version, people can try before they buy. Then yes, that's the main model. And the only other way really is in terms of. Search engine optimization and Google AdWords and such, but of course that's really just driving people to the site to download the software and try it. So really, the main approach is the shareware model. Yeah.
Right. So in terms of e-commerce, did you choose an outside e-commerce provider, and if so, why did you choose them?
Absolutely. We've tried with various ones so far. I've always felt that. I've sort of shied away from having our own merchant services, just again from the point of view of sort of having something else to worry about. The great thing about the registration services is that they've already set the thing up, and there's a certain amount of risk and hassle taken away from you. Obviously, you're paying a little bit more commission, but then you know hopefully you're spending less time on it, and there's probably an offset. I think also in the early days, sort of looking back, almost 10 years ago, it wasn't so easy to get a merchant account, or wasn't as inexpensive as to get a merchant account as it is now, and certainly not as easy as it is in the States. And also, obviously, because we're in the UK and we're selling online, the majority of our customers are in America or and we're basically pricing the product in dollars. So that would have added, for us, would have added an extra complication in terms of trying to get a merchant account over here that was US dollar based. So, you know, really from keeping things simple, we've found going with a third-party registration service so much more convenient, and I'm not convinced that it's been that much more expensive either in terms of sort of infrastructure costs, worrying about fraud, and generally, you know, just sort of maintaining it.
Yeah, I hear that. So who did you go with?
Well, we've been with, I think we started with ShareIt. We're now with Plymus, who I think are pretty good. And in the meantime, we've been with SW Reg, and we have an account with Reg now as well. But basically everything's through Plymus at the moment. We've removed for various reasons. Actually, still have the account to share it, but tried different ones out and always sort of trying to get a more competitive deal and that sort of thing. So worth negotiating, definitely.
Right. I understand. All right, well, what would you like to share with your fellow developers, remembering that there are potentially, you know, quite a few thousand of them listening to this, as Channel 9 has a few million people come and visit every month?
I would say, we sort of touched on it earlier about the importance of marketing, and you mentioned how many developers find the technical sort of side development so easy, but perhaps don't spend enough time thinking about how they're actually going to sell the product. I would say that I spend more than half, probably 75% of my time thinking about PR and marketing and just search engine optimization and just generally making sure the message is right. So I think that's something a lot of people feel hard, and I would say, you know, make that jump and think about that. The other thing I would say is I think it's much harder now than it was nearly 10 years ago to come up with something new. And pretty much everything seems to be done. I think that's the real challenge for people at the moment. And it does seem to be, it seems to be so easy now for people to come online and produce, you know, yet another, text editor or something that's been done so many times before. Difficult to be unique. And I would say think twice about launching something without doing some good research first into the market size and other products like that, whether or not there's been something out. Because I get the feeling that a lot of new developers aren't thinking about that and launch a product without really thinking about the competition and the market size. So I'd say it's very important to get that right first.
All right, and that's the end of this week's interview on the Micro ISV Show. Thanks again to Marcus Tetmar of MJTNet and his product Macro Scheduler Pro. Stay tuned for more interviews with Micro ISVs here when the Micro ISV Show continues next time on Channel 9.